A mixed message.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A jobless report that looks good on the outside but isn't as sweet as you may think. Investors don't seem to like it either. So where's Wall Street? Wall Street's down. The S&P 500 down more than 1% at this hour, with the NASDAQ down nearly 1%, and the Dow right now down about 1.3%. 109 points right now. European shares are lower, too. The FTSE's been tanking on word that ratings agency S&P lowered the UK's rating from stable to negative, the fifth European country to get the downgrade. Asian markets closed lower today as well. Let's bring in Bill Stone right now, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, joining us live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So we have this jobless claims report today from last week, down to 631,000. It shrunk by about 12,000. But that continuing claims figure keeps going up and up. It's inching closer to what, 6.7 million now?
It is getting there, yeah.
Yeah. Compared to expectations, Bill, what do these numbers, these new numbers tell us?
Well, I think it's a reflection of, unfortunately, the some of the shutdowns at Chrysler. And I think a lot of the concerns is, as we've seen this continue to grow, is that it may, in fact, continue to grow even more given what's likely to happen at GM. So that's really putting some upward pressure on, unfortunately, future claims.
Do you see any positive significance going forward into, say, the second quarter? I mean, yeah, the number's a little lower, but those continuing claims, they're brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that the job side of things is tends to be the last thing to turn around. You know, companies are apt to continue cutting even after really the economy has turned. So that's, you know, I guess the positive is that we know it's one of the later things to happen. The other positive is if you get these auto shutdowns, you know, out of the way, then you should see some sort of snap back down. The problem is we just don't know how long exactly the shutdowns last, and, you know, they want to do an expedited bankruptcy, but, you know, no one really knows what that means.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Well, Bill Stone, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, joining us live from Philadelphia this morning. They've gotten money before, and the Treasury could be giving it billions more. Reports this morning are a deal could happen as early as today to help troubled GMAC. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
GMAC already received $5 billion from the government back in December. Now, the Detroit News and other papers are reporting that the Treasury Department will loan the company at least $7 billion more. Chris Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics says the government should have let GMAC fail.
You've got to get the weak competitors out of the market. That's how you help the righteous bank survive and grow.
Whalen says the reason GMAC wasn't liquidated is because it's the only financing vehicle for GM and now Chrysler. The government ordered GMAC to also extend financing services to bankrupt Chrysler and its dealers. But what could save those companies could put Ford at risk. Peter DiLorenzo is with AutoExtremist.com.
The government is setting up a situation where GM and Chrysler dealers will be able to offer tremendous financing that Ford won't be able to match. And it's really not right.
Especially since Ford has so far turned down government bailout money. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Sony today said it plans on cutting its number of suppliers in half, and it'll centralize the way it negotiates contracts with them. And the world's fourth biggest computer maker, Lenovo Group, said today it lost money for the second quarter in a row. You're listening to The Morning Report on Thursday, May 21st, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Whatever comes out of this financial crisis, it's likely to include a serious overhaul of the way Wall Street operates. Lawmakers are looking at curbing everything from derivatives to executive pay. And in the coming weeks, the White House is expected to roll out a number of proposals for new regulations. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, that's got some in the industry a bit on edge.
At a conference on market structure this week, men and women of Wall Street pondered the coming wave of regulation. There's talk of a new risk watchdog to police the whole financial system and a new product safety commission to oversee mortgages and mutual funds. Howard Engelhardt is with Pipeline Trading.
The fear here is that rather than taking these opportunities to streamline and really improve the regulatory framework, we're just going to have new layers that we'll have to contend with.
All the uncertainty makes Kevin Copeland's job challenging these days. He's a lawyer who advises broker-dealers.
I counsel clients to not get in trouble, and if they're going to push the envelope, let them know how elastic it really is. But if I don't know and they don't know, then they're paralyzed.
Despite their apprehension, some in the industry say regulation is key to restoring faith in the system. As one New York Stock Exchange official put it, sometimes that means taking medicine we don't like. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Today in New York, Mayor Michael Bloomberg tries to settle a dispute over financing for the three buildings to replace the World Trade Center. Developer Larry Silverstein wants more money from the public agency that owns the site. But the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is balking. It worries there won't be enough demand for office space in the new facility. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Right now, the vacancy rate in Lower Manhattan is about 12%, but one survey predicts that within 3 years, it could rise to 20%. Bob Yarrow is president of the Regional Plan Association. He says it's not surprising Larry Silverstein hasn't had much luck raising money.
The banks have said, in the nicest way, come see us when you have some tenants, and he doesn't have them. And so what he's done is he's gone to the Port Authority has asked the Port Authority to bankroll these buildings.
The Port Authority says it'll help with just one building. Yarrow says one idea under discussion is to build just a few stories of each tower for now and fill them with retail for the expected hordes of tourists.
It gets the site completed and functional and opens it up to the world and then sets the stage for whatever happens next.
He says the towers could be finished when the economy recovers. Meanwhile, he says the Port Authority should focus on public infrastructure at the site, including building a transport hub. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A Senate hearing today focuses on substandard drywall imported from China. Homeowners in the Southeast say it corrodes wires and pipes inside walls, and it makes people sick. Some senators want to impose a trade ban on all drywall from China, but the problem is a little more complicated than that. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
The suspicious drywall has turned up in 13 states. Homeowners there complain of asthma, headaches, and persistent cough. Yesterday, EPA investigators reported high levels of strontium inside the drywall. That's a metal used to make TV screens. And they found sulfur. But so far, health regulators haven't found the levels to be hazardous. In Beijing, officials are also cooperating. But many trade and export veterans in China think it's premature for a blanket ban. The manufacturer is a German conglomerate that owns factories in China. Chris Doctor exports building materials from China to the U.S.
In a lot of cases, it's not intent to defraud anyone as much as it is they have a shipping date that they have to ship, and the only supplier they have, you know, is in the case of the drywall, pull their gypsum out of a mine that also has some sulfur content.
The mineral gypsum is the main ingredient in drywall. Much of the material used to build American homes is actually sourced locally. Chinese imports only surged temporarily during the building boom after Katrina. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Congress is taking up a major aviation bill today. Supporters say it'll help save lives, but the European Union opposes the measure, claiming it's designed to save American jobs. From the European desk in London, here's Stephen Beard.
The U.S. Federal Aviation Authority currently inspects foreign aircraft repair stations once a year. A provision in the new bill will increase that to twice a year. In future, if a foreign repair station has not been inspected twice, U.S. airlines won't be able to use it. American labor unions back the bill. They argue that many foreign countries are not as rigorous as the states when it comes to safety. But the European Commission says the bill is pure protectionism. Kieran Daly of Air Transport Intelligence.
About is making it difficult for U.S. airlines to find approved overseas maintainers of the aircraft so that the work would have to stay in the state.
If Congress passes the bill in its current form, the European Union says it will pull out of a pending International Aviation Safety Agreement, and it could retaliate with its own safety regulations. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's been less than 3 months since President Obama signed the stimulus bill. Now some of those ready-to-go projects we'd heard so much about are actually happening. Of the 3,000 transportation projects approved so far, work has started on about 10% of them. Tamara Keith takes us to one project in Maryland.
The very first transportation project to get started is a mile-long stretch of potholed road in Silver Spring, Maryland.
I think it's 20 years or so without any maintenance on this road. It's so highly traveled that it was in dire need to be fixed.
Scott Dauphiné is chief engineer on the $2 million project. His firm, American Infrastructure, won the contract. Repaving this piece of New Hampshire Avenue isn't as glamorous as fixing a majestic bridge. But really, this is your stimulus dollars at work. Nationally, resurfacing roads is huge.
It would have been easier if it wasn't so tight, but she can tell.
A crew of guys has coned off a lane and is fortifying a storm drain. Dauphiné says they'll fix 31 of them, along with a bunch of curb ramps, before paving.
Basically, if repaving is sort of the unsexy part of a stimulus package, then this is the unsexy part of repaving.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, this is the, everybody sees the paving and the milling as the big operation because that's when we have the big machines out here. But this work is absolutely necessary to do before we can mill or pave the road.
And it means jobs. American Infrastructure has 60 people on this project. Before the stimulus came along, 20 of them had been laid off. But the jobs don't stop there. Another contractor employs William Denford. His job inspecting the project is his first work in 4 months.
I like to work, so I was glad when I got the call, but I was just surprised because I couldn't find work anywhere, making decent money.
Denford gives full credit to the stimulus package.
They say I'm supposed to make a paycheck and then go out and spend money to help the economy, but I'm just spending money to live, to survive right now.
No big spending for Denford. Not until he's certain he'll still have a job after the stimulus runs out. In Silver Spring, Maryland, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
First time ever, the House Energy and Commerce Committee is likely to approve a climate bill that's made it to the floor of Congress. There's been a lot of debate about this bill, and some of the fiercest battles aren't between politicians, but among businesses and the trade groups that lobby for them. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
A TV ad running this week features Duke Energy CEO Jim Rogers endorsing a mandatory limit on greenhouse gases.
Why would the head of one of America's largest coal-burning utilities support a cap on carbon emissions? Because America has to start making smart choices.
Rogers' message is the opposite of what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying. The world's largest business group claims capping emissions would cause energy shortages and higher prices. What's noteworthy here is that Rogers holds a seat on the Chamber of Commerce's board, as do many other prominent supporters of climate change legislation. That's led Peter Altman with the Natural Resources Defense Council to pose this question.
Who is the chamber really representing here?
Altman researched the Chamber of Commerce board members' positions on climate change legislation. And out of the group of businesses that have publicly stated their positions, 19 favored federal action and only 4 opposed it. And 3 of those 4 are coal mining companies.
The staff seem to be freelancing on the agenda of just a few of their members and not adequately representing where the majority of the members of their board that have got a position on climate change really find themselves.
In recent weeks, companies like Nike and Johnson & Johnson have publicly criticized the chamber for not reflecting their views. But the chamber's head of government affairs, Bruce Jostin, says member disagreements are nothing new.
Do I have a diversity of viewpoints in the membership of the United States Chamber of Commerce? Yes. Let me be perfectly clear. On every issue that comes before the Congress of the United States.
But the issue of climate change is different. James Thurber heads American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies.
This is major in terms of its impact upon the economy and upon the way you extract and use energy. And so, therefore, it is major in terms of the stress upon certain interests.
Thurber says forming business coalitions is the easy part. The challenge is maintaining them, especially when limits on greenhouse gas emissions threaten to hurt some industries and some regions, a lot more than others. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Hey, check out our website, marketplace.org. The Scratchpad is there with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside our website. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.